Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere.
Good evening, podcast audience. This is Hodge to Hodge Podcast with co-producers Ken and Rondaya Hodge. This is the biweekly Messenger Edition, and the messenger is Rondaya Hodge. Please, we thank you for joining in, and welcome.
Who is the messenger and what is the message? Raised as primitive Baptist / Christian, we were immersed in organized religion. But two brothers woke up one day and decided that there was a better way, and that way must be introduced to the universe. And so we have the podcast, The Messenger. Hear ye one, hear ye all. Messenger Ron Dyer.
Hey, good evening. This is co-producer, again, at the microphone for The Messenger while he gets his, still recovering from a little cold. But tonight we want to talk about the God in you. Before I even get into my message tonight, let me clear up something that I said on last week's podcast. I got a couple of emails about it. I was given an example of why you believe what you believe. And the example that I gave that seemed to open a lot of people's eyes was when I said, if the original plan from God was two people populate the world, how could incest be bad? And let me tell you and explain it. And I still propose that as a paradoxical question, but in no way, again, I don't condone incest. I'm not in favor of incest. I'm just simply pointing out two issues in trying to get us to understand that a lot of what's been taught to us, it just don't mathematically add up. So again, I wanted to clear that up. I'm not promoting incest. I'm simply stating, if that was the plan from the Creator from the beginning, because the Bible tells us that there was just Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam and Eve had children, their children had children. So, you know, in fact, in royalty, they still believed in that you know the brothers, sisters kept the family pure, kept the blood. Now, I don't condone that, but I'm just pointing it out. So I wanted to clear that up. So I got a couple of emails, and people were kind of thinking that I'm saying incest is okay. I'm not saying it's okay. Not in my mind, it isn't. All I'm simply saying is, if it was a blueprint, you tell me why it's bad. So I guess I dug myself out of a hole from last week and jumped right back in it. Here we go.
Amen.
The God in you. The God in you, once you realize it, makes you feel like a superhero. And not a superhero with respect to you want to go run, jump off a building and see if you can fly, but a superhero in knowing that if what you do because you understand that you are a godly being, then there is no way possible it can be bad. I don't care what it is that you do. If you do what you do, understanding that the Spirit of God rests and rules and abides inside your body, then whatever you plan on doing, if you locked into that concept, it's got to turn out good. Because we go back to the premise that God is love. You can say a lot of other things, but everybody understands God is love. And again, we just have to accent that more. I was talking with a friend today, and the more and more the podcast messenger airs, the more conversation I get at work about it now, because mm-hmm. it is hard for people to believe that I believe a little different from them right now. And I told him, if you believe what you believe, allow me to believe what I believe, because what I believe, it make more sense than what you believe. I'm sorry. In my mind. Okay, in my mind. And again, this is my belief. And I'm going to share with as many, and I'm going to share it with as many people as I possibly can. I'm not going to be a Bible thumper and talk to you when you don't want to talk to me. But if we engage in conversation, you're going to know how I feel about certain things. And one question I asked, and I'm going to ask this question to the cast tonight. Once you're saved, let's go back to organized religion and just humor me for a minute, because that's what it does. And if anybody takes offense, I'm sorry, and I'll keep apologizing, but I'm going to keep saying it. Once you're saved, can you be unsaved? That's a real question. Could somebody answer that for me?
I'd like to know, what are you saved from?
Well, now again, you're saved from damnation. You're saved from the fiery pits of hell. Hold on, let me bang on the desk. You're saved from, don't get me to hocking it up here, what you're saved from.
Oh, my goodness.
Watch this. You've been conditioned to believe that you're saved from hell. So, again, if we just follow that premise, if you are saved, can you be unsaved? I'll probably get some emails on that tomorrow, but I really want to know mm-hmm. that. Now,
hey, co-producer.
Yeah.
I have a friend listening in, and she has a comment.
Sure.
You cannot be unsaved because you've been saved already. Now, you can go back and do unsaved and ungodly things.
Right?
But you're still saved.
Yes.
Amen.
You're always saved.
That's right. We're not perfect.
What'd you say?
Because we're not perfect.
Correct.
That's
but
right.
You cannot go unsaved.
Once God has accepted your soul, is that what you're saying, Lise?
Once you've accepted Christ into your life, you are now saved. But whatever your ways, if they're ungodly, that does not make you unsaved. That just means you got some jacked ways. Stop what you're doing.
I like that. Co-producer?
So then, if I'm always saved, why is it necessary that I keep asking for forgiveness if I'm already saved?
Because you have choices.
I'm sorry?
Because you have choices.
Free will?
No, I understand what you're saying, sister. I was just simply saying, if we believe that we're saved, that, you know, whatever we did to get there, we're there. We're saved. Is there anything we can do to be unsaved? And your answer to that was no. And so my question then, my follow-up question would be, if I understand that once I'm saved, why is it necessary for me to keep asking for forgiveness? Because I already know I'm saved. Nothing will happen to me. Whatever that means.
Because that's what we have been conditioned to do.
Okay. All right. That'll work for me. And again, this is a lot of what we talk about. And again, this is a lot of what we talk about on this podcast about how we've been conditioned to believe certain things that when you sit down and think about them, they really don't make a whole lot of sense. But we believe them. But we believe them only because we choose to believe them. It doesn't matter if it adds up or not. I choose to believe it, so therefore it's true. And this is why you don't, again, we're repeating from last week, this is why a lot of people say you never debate the Bible. Nobody wants to sit down and talk about facts. When you're talking about the Bible, it is simply, I believe every word in this book, so does it matter about proof, not proof, but evidence? Does it add up? Does it make sense? It doesn't matter. It's in his book. I believe it. And when people get to that position, I'm sorry?
Who wrote the book?
Men wrote the book.
Who wrote the book?
I don't know. Help me.
You got to think about it. Think real hard. That's the question.
I'll tell you who wrote the book. I can tell you that, ma'am. The book was put together by King James. He got a group of priests from the Church of Laodicea, and they all got different scriptures and stuff from the different people that said they hung out with Jesus, and some that didn't even hang out with him, and they got all the scriptures and they sat down and they decided which ones was going to go into the book, and then King James titled it the Bible. And then interpreted differently throughout the world.
We're not big fans.
So that's who wrote the book.
Conditioned to believe what is in the Bible is true and fact, right? Or
some people are.
Truly, honestly believe, or did you do your research and go all the way back?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part of what you said.
So you have been conditioned to believe that what is in the Bible is true in fact, even though it's interpretation by man, right?
Correct.
To be true in fact. No, I don't believe it to be true in fact.
Right.
Right, there are happenings that occurred that they happened to put pen and paper to, but true in fact, and the fact that it is God's word, I don't find anything to truly back that up.
Okay.
I mean, let's think about this for just a second. What is it? Well, the first verse in the Bible says, well, in the beginning, there was nothing?
Just started.
Correct.
Yeah, who could write that statement? Who would know that? Who would know that? There's nobody there but God in the beginning. Who could write that statement?
I never thought of that. Who did it? So you've been conditioned to believe everything in the Bible is true.
No, I choose not to believe. No, I choose not to believe that, sis. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. And again, what I believe, now again, I believe that the breath that's what makes me is the Spirit of God in me. When I do believe that everybody, every living entity has God's Spirit in them. And when when your body decays, that spirit goes back to God. So in effect, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in the devil. I do believe that everybody, when you cease. Oh, and that's what I meant. I just don't. You know, because you
I'm telling you, there truly are people that are demons, and heaven and hell are real. There are true spirits. There is also the devil.
Okay.
Is there a reason why Jesus said heaven and hell is right here on earth? It's within us. It's how we think. The evil thoughts that we think is our hell, and the pleasant things that we think is our heaven. It's just that simple. But we're taking it to mean something totally different. He's trying to let us know. Jesus told us that we are brothers and sisters, that we are all one. All religions, all they try to get you to understand is the fact that you are supposed to love one another as yourself. And there is a reason for that, because we are all one. We are all part of the body of God. You have to understand, if you go to the ocean, that's correct, but we are all that same spirit. The spirit in me touches, when you and I are touching and agreeing, our spirits connect because they are one. It's just the fact that we don't go by what it is that our spirits are telling us, and so we want to use what it is that our mind is telling us, and so a lot of times we miss the mark in what's really being done and said. But if
that's
we can
true.
Truly
we
understand... I'm sorry?
It's the same thing when you speak, when somebody speaks negative out into the atmosphere, or you speak something over somebody that is negative, that truly can happen to that person or that group or whatever it is you want to call it. That's why when people say, don't everybody can't touch you. Everybody can't come in your house. Everybody should not be praying over you. Because everybody's spirit is not of the positive and the right.
Everybody's spirit is, they just choose not to listen to it. God is life, and every single thing that has life is part of God.
No. Yeah, but I think, go ahead, I'm sorry, I'm out.
I just want to ask a question. If God was to remove his breath from you right now, what would happen to you?
You die. Your spirit is roaming.
If he removed his breath
your
from you, you die.
Going back to where it came from.
Okay, so if God removes his spirit from you, you die. And if he puts his spirit back in you, what happens?
You live.
So who are you?
I am God. God is within me.
That is
his
correct. You
is within me.
That. And that's all, see, because of the fact that all we can see is this physical body, and what happens is we use the spirit, this physical body, and we don't realize that the physical body is nothing. It's all about the spirit, and that spirit is God. Everything
right.
else will pass away, but that spirit will not pass away. And that spirit is the reason you have your very being at this particular moment.
No.
You sing songs, there are sayings and all of this stuff in the church that the body is just a temple that houses the spirit of God. It tells us this is why Jesus called it the church. It tells us this, but we won't accept it because we think it's something else. But it's telling us plain and simple. If we stop and listen to it and don't let other people interpret things for you, because if my body is just a temple for the Spirit of God, then it tells us it's just a temple. So if it's just a temple, it cannot be who I really am. And when I get inside, when I go inside and I connect with the spirit inside me, then I know who I really am. And then all of this other stuff, these devils and all of this stuff that we want to blame on other people, we tend to see that it's not so. When something goes wrong in your life, if you really, really stop and add up the cause, you can find out what happened, what went wrong. We like to take the easy way out and blame the devil because it's something that we did. What a man soweth, so shall he reap. It's not no devil. It's a universal law. No matter who you are, no matter what you got, what a person soweth, so shall they reap. So these are things that are happening that have been told to us, but because we choose to see it in a different way rather than the way it is, we miss the mark. We're walking around here letting people dictate and tell us how to live our lives when that is what you are here for. You are a creator. You are part of God. You are here each and every day to create the best life for you that you can. That is your mission here on earth. But they've got you thinking you're here on earth to prepare to die. It's not. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Every single thing that the church tried, every kind of restriction that a church tried to put on Jesus, this is one of the reasons why they wanted to kill him, because he rebuked against it, because he tried to let people know that that is not the way. The way is to love God and love yourself with all your might. And if you love yourself enough, you ain't got no choice but to love me. But we can't get the love part right. And once we get the love part right, then we can see things a little clearer. Then we'll realize that we don't need these religions because we are in tune with God, the God that is within us. God has no respect of person because we are all one. Just because we're not in the ocean with the water doesn't stop us from being ocean water.
Amen. Amen.
Religion teaches us a lot of things, but what they've got us failing to see is just who we are. Every single thing that God created was good. And if God created it good, there is no way we can make it bad. The only way we can make it bad if we choose to see it as bad.
I disagree with you.
You disagree with me? Let's have a reason real quick.
Because you're always going to have positive
consequences.
You're going to have
consequences.
Right.
Yes, for every action, there's going to be a consequence.
Have balance, you got to have positive and negative. That's the balance.
Okay.
So
that's the balance.
Not...
So the point that I'm making is it is the balance. So if it's the balance, why do we have to label it as bad? It's just the balance to the opposite of what we were doing. Doesn't make it bad.
It's just
the opposite.
Let me give you an example. Let me tell you. Okay, so I don't know you, but if I come up and smack you, and then you smack me back, then we get ready to fight. Now, the negative is I don't know you, but I may have heard something negative. You may have done something negative. So the reaction would be I'm going to smack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is just an example. But
I understand.
There are people that could be negative. So...
We all are trained to be negative, and what we all as a whole need to do is be more on the positive. And that's what the problem is. We've been brought up to believe so much negativity.
Everybody is trained on a blank slate. Just like racism, you're not born to be a racist. You are taught how to do that.
Amen.
You're taught how to do that. So in that my kids play with everybody of all races, colors. It doesn't matter, shapes, whatever. So if I tell them, okay, don't play with that white one, don't play with that brown one, Don't play with that red bone over there. Okay, so all they play with, who is the dark kids? Yeah, no. But in
no,
that was negative.
Wait.
Because they were here, they were brought here on a blank slate. They are taught to who to dislike and who not to dislike. So in that event, when you have negative people, you are taught how to be negative. I get what you're saying. Everybody should be positive, but everybody is not. Thus,
right, but that
there are people who truly are demons. There are people that just, there is nothing. They seek to kill and destroy positive people.
This is what the problem is, my sister. What you're saying is 100% correct, okay? But what you're looking at is their side, is your side. But if you turn around and look at it from their side, they might think that they're doing something right. And please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying the way that we judge the world, it is wrong. But it's not all about how we judge the world. And I've said this many times on the podcast before.
The first stone, but understand, everybody live in a glass house. So the minute you think you're going to throw something, I hope your windows is open.
Okay, so then who am I then to call someone a demon? Who am I to call someone a demon if I live in a glass house? Because throughout the course of my life, I might have done something that somebody else looked upon and thought it was pretty bad. And to me, it was the time of my life. So if it was the time of my life for me, who are you? And I'm just speaking literally here, figuratively, that then who are you to tell me I was wrong? But the only reason why we feel that we can tell people they're wrong is we've established this pattern of life, and we've determined what's good and what's bad. We determine that. We have to understand what when the scripture says the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Now, when you say fullness, doesn't that mean everything? Fullness, everything. Ain't no empty space nowhere. Everything is the Lord's. When the Lord created this, everything was good. Everything.
True.
He slipped around and
male.
He said it
he
was
messed
good.
It up.
But do you really think that you have enough power or enough authority to mess up something God made? It takes us forever and a year to mess up this
down.
Body that got. What's
that? No, but then he goes, so God created everything. Remember, he did the angel too. And the devil was an angel too, and he can sit right there on the front bench and say
Let me ask you something. Okay, I hear your sister, but let me ask you this really. Do you truly believe that if God made that devil to be an angel, he could change his mind? What kind of God are you talking about? If he made that angel to be an angel, so you really think that God, who created all of this and loved us so much, that he would put, quote unquote, a devil around here to roam and seek and destroy his own people, his own self? We believe that? We wouldn't do that as a parent. Why do we think God would do that for some revenge or some? Why do we think that of our God?
Because there are some people who this is an example. This is when you have kids out of wedlock, or you have kids and you were not married. It's a thing that kid could be a human. Kid is bad.
Hey, listen, podcast audience, hold on. This is co-producer. We're going to bring our half-hour podcast to an end tonight. But I thank you, sister, for sharing your views. And again, every Thursday and Sunday night, we're here on The Attic. It's important that you call in and share your views. I will allow you to enjoy your views. And I ask that you allow me to enjoy my views. That's all we ask on the podcast, because it's different and it's so simple. It's so simple.
Amen.
And it's so simple, folks. Hey, listen, this is co-producer saying good night from the podcast. Messenger. Be blessed.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Lord.
Good night, everyone.
Love you. Good night.
Love you.
Good night, blessings.